Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. How many of you heard all the announcements? When the announcements start, it's time to start listening to them. Your very friendly group, Bride of Christ, we're going to spend eternity together. This morning, the pastor is going to be preaching from 1 John 3, 19 to 24. It's on 12 of the church Bibles. As I was reading it, I thought, you know, I'm a boater. So one of the things you have to learn when you're a boater is how to set your anchor. And today, the pastor is going to tell us how to set the anchor. Okay, here's the word. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask from him, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Would you pray with me? Lord, there's not much today of which we can be truly certain, and truth and innuendo abound. And true truth is rare and elusive. Your beloved disciple John has given us great assurances upon which our lives can be firmly anchored. What a blessing that is. We pray that not one single person leaves today without making their salvation certain. We thank you for the abiding presence of your Spirit, who knows each of us intimately, who works in our lives to guide and enable us to walk in according with your will. We invite you to teach us how we should abide in you. John has written some sentences that are like a braided rope. They require some untangling. Our pastor works hard and long meditating on your word. Give Pastor Jose great insights and the ability to challenge us as he preaches your word. Keep us attentive to what you say through your servant, and may your bride, the church, once again be blessed by you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Greg. As my kids were growing up, they love the swimming pool, right? And they especially were excited when we got our first swimming pool, right? And all of a sudden the truck came and filled it up with water, and they stood on the edge of the ladder because we hadn't put a deck around it yet. And they wanted to jump in, but they were unsure, right? Because they were little things, right? And our pool was 4 feet high, They didn't know how to swim. And it was just a time of joy, right? And both of them, right, would go through the same experience. And it's just an experience that I believe most parents go through with their kids, right? So that's my daughter, right, on the blown up whale, right? And she has her life jacket on, right? And Jake is the one who has the blue goggles, right? Just in front of the dolphin, right? But it took a long time for them to get to that place of being comfortable, right? And for both of them, right, we would go through this ritual, right? I would be in the pool, and I would look at them and go, jump! Uh-uh. Jump! I got you. Uh-uh. Come on, buddy. I'm not going to let you drown. I'm going to catch you. Right? So you would, and then he would turn around, stick his foot, right? And I would pick him up, put him back on the ladder. I'd go, come on, jump! And all of a sudden, it's like he spilled himself into my hands, right? He would go, come a little closer, right? Come a little closer, right? And I would grab him, and I would put him back, and I'd go, jump! Right? And all of a sudden, he would take that leap. Right? And all of a sudden, he would come to understand, right, that I would not let him go. Right? And all of a sudden, he would say, do it again! Do it again! Do it again! And at that moment, he had a sense of assurance, right, that I was not going to let him get hurt, right? And Carly would see that, and all of a sudden she would want to do the same thing, right? The problem is that now I have him jumping, and she wants to follow him, right? And I only have two hands, right? So I have to ask him to get in the water with me, right? And she would go through the same thing, because she saw her brother do it, when it comes time to take that leap, right, all of a sudden fear creeps in, right? And I remember she would sit there and cry because she so much wanted to jump, right? And she was just full of fear until that day, right, where she just leaped right in. And that's what we are going to talk about today, is the assurance of our faith, right? And how do we know that we have what God has given and promised to give us according to Scripture? Right, and the Apostle John, he wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote Revelations, and then he wrote these three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And this particular letter is really about having assurance, right? Because the church was being infiltrated by people who were questioning the faith and the assurance of what they have. Right, and John would say this, right, he would say this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Right? To know, to have that assurance, to have that confidence, right, is what John would write to the church, is what he would be saying to us today. And But in order to respond, right, at times we have to ask a question. And it's a question that throughout the life of the church, the question was asked during this time of evangelism explosion, right? Billy Graham would ask this question a lot, right? And I'm just rephrasing it here, right? And it would be this, right? If you were to die today, what percentage, right, would you give yourself that you would go to heaven, right? And here's the one thing I do know, right? And not that we would become morbid right now, but death has a great score, right? Nobody escapes it. Right. But if God was to call us home today, right, would you be sure? Would you be able to have the confidence nothing is going to separate me from the gift that He has given me? And my hope is, just like Greg said earlier, right, is that by the time you leave here, you would have that confidence, right, that regardless of what we do, if we have Jesus Christ, that does not void the gift of salvation. But sometimes when we fall short, we tend to question, am I a believer? What's wrong with me? Right? And the first thing Satan uses is, well, maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're not saved. Right? So here's what we are going to do, right? We're going to ask these three statements, right? So what is assurance of salvation? Why should you want assurance? And then the end, how to have assurance of salvation. Right? And here's the thing, right? This letter that John writes answers these questions. Right? You don't have to go throughout all of Scripture to try to figure out assurance of salvation. You can find it right here. Right? And so I would encourage you, right, if you have your Bible, if you have it on your phone, a tablet, because we're going to be looking at a majority of this letter, because John tends to say the same thing over and over and over again, and I guess it's because you and I need to listen to it over and over and over again, right? But he wants us to have confidence, right? And as we look at that first one, what is assurance of salvation? Right, we'll start right in the beginning. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. Right, there is something that John wants you and I to have that sometimes we don't have. And that is our hearts to be settled. A lot of times our heart is just running here and there. Our heart will lead us astray. But he wants us to have a heart that is reassured. One of the translations says, right, that our hearts would be put to rest. Right? Imagine your heart being put to rest. Or all of a sudden, you're not worried about the things we worry about. Where you're not concerned about the things that overwhelm your thought life. That your heart would be at peace. Right? And wouldn't you want that? Right? He would go on to say, for whenever our hearts condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And he knows everything. right? So whenever your heart starts to lead you astray, John would say, no, no, God is greater than that, greater than your heart. And here's the thing. He knows everything, right? I don't have to know everything. Some of you think you know everything, right? But I don't have to know everything. I need to trust the one who knows everything, right? He's the one, right, that's going to catch me every time. He's the one who's never going to let me go. I might disappoint him by choices and decisions I make, but once I have it, it's mine. Beloved, right? Imagine this intimate term of endearment. Beloved. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, right? That we would have this assurance, this peace, this shalom of shalom, which is in the Psalms, right? And when Scripture talks about the shalom of shalom, it is this wholeness of peace. Do you have that? Do you have that peace? Do you have that confidence? Right? And here's the thing. When we talk about assurance, this is not a theological concept that you were wrestling with this past week. Right? You didn't think about this past week. You lived your life. You did your, you even did your morning devotions. And guess what you never thought about? Assurance. Right? But one of the things that's important is our assurance, where we're not questioning what's ours. Right? He would say earlier on in John, in 1 John, right? And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming, right? So John is talking about a future, right, that when he appears in the future, that we would be able to abide in him and have confidence. But then he says later on, right here, right? Beloved, our heart does not condemn us, so that we would have confidence before God now. Not something that we're waiting for, but we can have it now. Let me ask, do you want that assurance now? Right. So in order to be able to move forward, right, so here's the definition. Assurance of salvation is the confident belief based on God's word that one's sins are forgiven, that they have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? That is the biblical definition of assurance of salvation. Right? So here's Jose's definition. Right? It is an eternal sense that we are truly born again, forgiven, and that we are saved, right? So how do we make sense of that, right? And as a pastor, one of the things I get to do a lot is marriages, weddings, right? And it's amazing to watch God do what he does, right? Because two people come into a sanctuary or a garden or a place where I am presiding, and they come in not married, right? I stand and preside over this ceremony, and I get to say at the end, now by the authority invested in me as a minister of the Word of God and the authority of the state of New York and the laws of the state of New York, I now pronounce you husband and wife, right? And all of a sudden, something changes at that moment, spiritually, right? But here's the thing, right? Everybody's there, everybody celebrates. But for the couple, as they leave, guess what they don't feel? They don't feel married. Like, what's different? Like, what? Right? I still feel the same. Right? And it takes time. Right? Time for what God has done for you to catch up spiritually with what reality is, right? And here's how you have to see that, right? There is a subjective experience that points to an objective reality, right? And little by little, day by day, as these two live out their covenant vows, all of a sudden, they start to feel physically what God has done spiritually, becoming one. Takes time. Right? And the same thing is for you and for me. As we walk with Christ, we might not feel, right? Well, what's different? What's changed? Especially when we fall short and we sin. But then God gives us the opportunity to go back to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Right? Because it's like this, right? You can have salvation and be sure that you have salvation. You can have salvation and you can question whether you have salvation, but that doesn't negate what God has done for you. You could think you are assured in your salvation and not have salvation, or you can say, I'm not a believer, and that would affirm that you don't have it. Right? Those are what we're looking at. We're not asking, right? Am I saved? But what I am looking for is, how do I know that I'm saved? Right, and we're just going to keep going through our scripture today. And now we're going to look at the why, right? Why should I want this? Right, and he would say, right? For whenever my heart condemns us, God is greater than my heart. He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Right? So to ask is to pray, to seek. And here's the thing, as I continue to walk with God and seek his will, eventually my desires are not the things that I want, but my desire is, Lord, may I have you more. May I know you more. Lord, do away with my flesh. What's your will, not my will? Right? Because God is not a candy machine where we put in our request and he spits it out, right? We've been praying, Lord, we need an answer for Ann. Lord, be with Betty. Lord, be with our loved ones that are not doing well, right? And sometimes, right, it's like, am I praying the right prayer? Lord, is there something in me that's short-circuiting my prayer because you're not answering it, right? But to believe in Jesus Christ is that he does hear our prayers, right? The thing is, sometimes I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes, and he's doing something. And just because I can't see it, John would say, have confidence. Don't let your heart lead you astray. We are to know the truth. God is greater than our heart. He knows everything, right? Let me ask you, do you know everything? You want to know everything, but, right, it's, I'll say this, thank God you don't know everything, right? It's, because we would be in trouble, right? But he knows everything, and here's what I got to do. I just have to pray and pray, and when I'm done praying, I need to pray some more. Right, and sometimes the bigger problem is that when I do fall short of God's will, I tend to feel as if he's far away from me. Right, and I tend to question the very thing he's given me, right? My salvation. I remember when Jake was small, and I would walk with him in the store, right? And every once in a while, I would pick him up. I would just give him this bear hug, right? I would kiss his little dirty neck, right? Right? And I would say, buddy, I love you. Right? And here's the thing, right? Just because I did that didn't all of a sudden make him more my son, right? Because he was my son. He is my son. Right? But I know one thing. At that moment, he was more confident, right, in who he was, right, as he experienced just the love that I can give him, right? He would go on to say, right, in verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. To abide, to be with, to spend time with, to be connected. John would tell us in the Gospel of John, in John 15, that we are like branches on a vine, that we are connected together with God as we abide with him. Right? So John is telling us how to have this assurance, how we, regardless of what happens, regardless of what choices we might make, we can know, right? And it's the thing that was unraveling the church when he wrote it. He wanted them to know just like he would want us to know. Right, the last one, how to have this assurance of salvation. Right, and in order to understand this, right, I'm going to use an acrostic. An acrostic is a word, and each one of the letters represents a teaching, right? And the acrostic I'm going to use is old, right? Old. And here's how I want you to think of it, right? I want to grow old with Jesus Christ, right? I want to walk in my old age with Jesus Christ, right? I want to be with him, right, until he calls me home, right? And as we look at old, the first one is obedience. And obedience talks to our moral relationship, right, with our God, how we interact with our God. Right? And here's what he would say, right? In verse 21 there, right? And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Just as he has commanded us, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. Because of this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Right? And when we talk about obedience, it isn't that you're going to work to be obedient in order to keep your salvation secure. However, when you are sure of your salvation, now you want to be obedient. You don't want to do your own thing. Whenever you fall short, you're quick to respond, say, Lord, forgive me. As I've said in the past, as a believer, it should bother you when you sin. It should bother you that when you fall short, it should bother you when you tell those little white lies. It should bring you right to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, forgive me. You want so much more for me. And I keep short-circuiting this. First John 1:7 would say, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Right? So it's about us walking in the light. And like I said, I'm not going to go to any other writing, any other scripture. I'm staying right here in 1 John. But 1 John has everything you and I need in order to have assurance. Are you walking in the light? 1 John 2, verse 3 says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. If I keep pursuing, if I keep seeking, if I keep looking for in his word, and I keep what he has written, I will come to know him, right? And here's the thing, right? Is he that important for you to know? No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or knows him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appears was to destroy the work of the devil. No one born of God makes it a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born again. Right? So to be in God's word, to be obedient, is to live this moral life. Right? So if you keep on struggling with whatever you're struggling with, it isn't because God has not given you what you need. And let me tell you, right, it's like I am an ex, right, individual who struggled with alcohol and drugs, right? And I know what it is to struggle, right? And I know what it is to struggle when you're a believer, right? But here's the thing, right? If you spend enough time with somebody that struggles, you'll find, right, somebody who desperately at times wants to stop but is incapable of it. And then there are people who know they're struggling and they have a problem, and here's what they say. I don't care. That's just the way God made me. That's just the way life is. I guess this is the way I'm going to die, right? And there are those that are seeking an answer. But you see what he says there? Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. That righteousness that you practice isn't yours. It is something that has been lent to you, right? Through what Jesus Christ has done for you. Right? And so either you take that on and you believe that, or you question it. The next one is L, love. And this is our social interaction with one another. And sometimes this love piece is the one we struggle the most with. Right? He says in the scripture we are looking at today, by this we shall know, right? So what's the this? Right? We would have to go to the verse before that, verse 18, and here's what it says. Little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Right? He's calling us to love. He's calling us to love the way Christ has loved, right? And let me ask you, are you willing to love that much? To love the way Christ has loved, right? And here's the thing, right? In your own strength, you are you can't do it. But in God's strength, God's power, we can do what he calls us to do. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. He will say, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Right? It's like these words speak right to my heart. Right, because I have a short list of people that I don't care for. Right, So I'm going to be transparent with you, right? As much as I can, right? So there's an individual, right, who I believe I love because I pray for them on a regular basis, right? I want God's will for his life to happen, and I want God to bless this individual. However, I don't like him, right? So Lord, what do I do with that, right? And the only thing that I can do according to Scripture is I end up praying more for them, right? And then I hear through different individuals, right? It's like that there's going to be given a time that once this individual reconciles whatever they're going through, that he, right, that here's how it was put to me, that he will give me the opportunity to repent, right? And I go, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. Right? And here's the thing, right? Until that happens, I'm just praying. Right? I'm praying. I say, Lord, I just want to do your will. Right? And here's the thing, right? It's like, I know I don't have to be in an ongoing relationship with the individual. Right? But I also don't want to have an open account on the individual, right? And love hurts, right? Love hurts. And here's the thing, when I read scriptures like this, right, it's like, if I'm unwilling am I a child of the devil? Right? It's, now, I believe when I read this, this really has to do with the believer and the unbeliever. Right? But here's what happens when you're questioning, all of a sudden, the door is cracked open and it said, why is my heart so hard? Right? And here's the thing, right? It's like when you're hurt, right? It's you're defensive, right? And you don't want for that to happen again, right? And then I look at Christ and I go, how badly was he hurt for me? Right? And it's like, really, God? Oh, forgive me, Lord. Right? There's that tension as he calls us to love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Right? That's why I pray. I pray and I pray. And if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he cannot see, cannot love God who he can see. Right? It's that tension of the one I see versus the one I do not see. Right? It's, how can I say I love God but then dislike, hate a brother who is of God? Right? And that's where I say, Lord, I need you, right? I need your help here. Here's the thing I don't do. I don't make as if it's not there, right? And you remember years ago, or maybe for some of us, right? Whenever you got punished by your parents, right? At that moment when you were getting corrected, right? It's, for some reason, you might have felt less of a son or a daughter, less of being loved, right? It's, but if it was done with love, you can see that the correction was everything you needed, right? And God wants us to love the way he has loved. And then the last one is doctrine, right? And the doctrine really is the thing of, well, who do you believe Jesus is? Right? Do you believe the Jesus of the Old Testament, who was prophesied throughout the pages of Scripture, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that God, who existed before all of creation, one at his time took on flesh, lived among humans for one purpose, to go to a cross, to die for you and for me, where he would conquer sin and death, and then send the Holy Spirit to awaken our hearts to the reality, I need him, so that we would be in relationship in eternity, I would be secure. Right? Because here's the thing, there's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but don't believe any of that. There's a lot of churches that even have the name of Jesus on it and don't believe any of that. Right? But when we look at 1 John, right, he helps us. Right? And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Right? To believe in him and in him alone, that he is our way to our Heavenly Father, that he is the one that's going to catch you over and over and over again, that he loves you just the way you are, sinners, broken, that you can't clean yourself up and that you shouldn't try to clean yourself up. in chapter 5, verse 1, right? He said, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. He would go on in verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. He would say in verse 11, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. He would go on to say in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. This is what he has given us. Right? So it's not that we are obedient or that we love one another or that we believe the right doctrine so that we can secure our salvation. No, it is because we have salvation that we want to be obedient, that we want to love, that we want to seek the right doctrine, the right theology. Right? And all of this brings us back to that question. So if you die today, what percentage would you give yourself that you would go to heaven? Now, here's a follow-up question, right? So let's say you're in heaven and God's there, right? And all of a sudden he says to you, so why should I let you in? Right? My hope for you and for me is because of Jesus. Right, because of the grace and mercy of Jesus. Because he and he alone is the one who made a way where there was no way. He is the one. He is the one that I seek and I love. Right? He is the pinnacle of everything that I am pursuing in life. Right? There's nothing else, right, that I'm looking for. Because if I have him, then he puts everything else in its right perspective, right? If I have him, guess what? My struggles with my friend and family are taken care of. If I have him, I don't have a concern with work or not work. If I have him, if my health starts to decay, I'm okay. Jesus is the one that makes the difference. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for all that you have given us, and I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters that they would have assurance, an assurance that would not move. As Greg said earlier, that it would be an anchor, and the anchor would be set. So I wouldn't go drifting as the waves come in and out. Lord, may you be our anchor. Lord, we thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship our God.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.